Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Today, our pastor has a special word just for our partners. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
I pray that these words are coming at you and they're really having, they're achieving their mission. It's not just to heal you, it's not just to enlighten you, but every time you get a word from the Lord, it's wrapped in His presence. You understand what I'm saying? His presence is everything Jesus did had presence on it. Everything that He said had presence on it. And so more of His written word or prophetic word that you get, it's wrapped in that amazing presence that only He has, that He carries. I mean, it's Zoe. It's the God kind of life. So you're not just drinking in. That's why the Bible says what in Hebrews 4:12 here, it says the Word of God, it's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. But today I have a word for you today. It's found in the book of Exodus over here, chapter 7. When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, and thou shalt say unto Aaron, take the rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down the rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called in his wise men and the sorcerers, the magicians of Egypt, and they also did that manner with their enchantments. And they cast every man down his rod, and they became serpents as well. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. Oh my. I know this is an amazing story, and you've probably seen Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments and watched it right on film. I'll tell you something. Why did it take Moses so many trips to get these people free? When you think about all of the effort that Moses put into approaching Pharaoh, knowing that God is all-powerful, you know, knowing that the anointing was on Moses, knowing that Moses had this transformed appearance of the glory, and yet it took him multiple trips for a decadent, possessed Pharaoh to continue to say no. No, not now, not ever. So Moses goes in and he did what God said, and he had Aaron throw the staff down. It turned into a serpent. And God was going to use a sign and a wonder to convince Pharaoh to let the people go. Well, Pharaoh summons for his magicians, and they come in and their rods turn into snakes. But Moses' snake ate their snakes. Now, I don't know about you, but that's about the time I would say, I quit. Whenever that happens and you see your enemy, you see this holy man come in and do that, and he ate up everything that magic had to offer. Everything that came from the evil empire was taken out. You would think that a heart would become tender. But instead, the very next verse in this says that he became even more hardened. And then we see time after, then came the frogs, and then came the lice, and then came the blood, and on and on and on. And sometimes what people are connected to is deeper rooted in them than they know. Sometimes that disease, sometimes that sickness, sometimes that bondage is deeper in a person than they even know, and it's going to require more presence, more oil, more exposure to all that God has for you as an individual. That's why perseverance will pay off. That's why there's nothing, the yoke you have will break, but it may not break on the first time. I think some of you have found that out. Sometimes you find out, well, but I went, I felt the anointing, I fell under the power, but I still have this, I'm still fighting that, and when will this go away? And I got some deliverance, but not all the deliverance. And so there's so many answers in here that people are looking for. We want to be able to give you some of them. But some of the answers that I can give you today is that The main thing is that you don't quit and that you keep pressing in with all you know to do at the time and as he feeds you more information at the moment. One of the devil's greatest weapons is he fools you into thinking that nothing you're doing is working. He's only hoping that you just don't keep putting the pressure, not on the Lord, not on the preacher, but the pressure goes on the yoke. Because he says that yoke, what's it say in Isaiah 10:27? That anointing will break that yoke. You just don't know when that next prayer is going to do it. You don't know when next time you're reading that verse, that's it. You don't know when the next time that you sing that song is it. The next time you say, I forgive that, you don't know. And that's why God encourages us to what? To continue, to remain steadfast. That's exactly why he continued. That's why the woman in Luke 18, that what he just kept, she just kept saying, I want. And he just said, go, you're bothering me. I'm going to get you have it, not because I want to, but because you're bothering me so much. Now, we don't bother the Lord, but the Lord's using that principle to say it was the consistency. See, sometimes the devil knows how we don't like a long fight. We're good for a day, 2 days. Maybe we're good for, you know, a season. But oftentimes we just quit. Now, we don't quit going to church. We don't quit going to Bible study. We quit the fight. Oh, that is so good. We still go to church, but we're not pressing in for what he has. You know, we go to a Bible study. We go to a concert. We hang out with believers. But it's on another level where we're not putting any threat to that disease, to that diabetes, you know, to that arthritis, to that depression, you know, to that, you know, where's everybody when I need them? And there's so much of that that we just, that in itself is not the answer. In a church, in a fellowship, in a Bible study, it's pressing in. That's why that man at Bethesda, when he didn't get in the pool right away, for 38 years he sat around the pool, made friends. And all of a sudden the friends and the fellowship began to replace his quest to get in that water. And that's what happens to so many today. So many today, you know, they start out pursuing and reading, and I'm going to reach for that hymn. I'm going to anoint myself with oil. And then, like, what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 11? As often as you do this, remember me, remember him. As often in taking the communion. It's supposed to be often, not just once a month, as often as you do this. But we get out of sorts. We begin to think, well, maybe God isn't going to do this. Maybe I'm not supposed to prosper, so I quit giving. Maybe it doesn't work for me. Maybe tongues, praying in tongues, isn't what all it's cracked up to be. You know, maybe sitting under anointed teaching and preaching, and I don't know, I was there for 2 years, and I don't know, nothing. And all of a sudden, we begin to look right, and we begin to look left, and we quit pressing in. Moses had to press in. I mean, Moses didn't want to go to face Pharaoh to begin with. What? He said, I can't talk. I don't want to go. He won't listen. I mean, God had to really work with this man to get him to continue to get in there and let my people go. In spite of this Pharaoh, who had a very stubborn witchcraft spirit, and he was refusing. And Moses ran right into resistance. And that's what a lot of us run into. Well, what happens when you run into resistance? What happens when you run into opposition? What happens when you get out of a church building and out of the classroom and into real life where you're still medicating? You know, you're still on chemotherapy. You're still getting dialysis treatment. You still can't see. You know, and you love the fellowship and you love the church meeting, but you go home alone. You're in that apartment. You're in that house. You still hurt. Your wounds are still bleeding. You know, you still have to have somebody come in and help you throughout the day. And then the devil shows up in your thinking, what about God? Where's God? And he begins to try to put into question everything, you know, because Moses probably thought, I would think Moses thought, when his snake ate all their snakes, he's thinking, game over. He's thinking, that'll do it. That'll show this guy to let the people go. And when Pharaoh looked at him and said, no, I'm not going to let them go. Moses thinking, did he just see what I saw? Did he see the same thing? He saw it. But see, he knows, Pharaoh knows, who was a type of devil, as the devil knows. He has a history on how soon you pull out of a fight, on how soon you pull out of confession, how soon you pull out of standing on something, standing fast on something. He sees that, and he really is hoping that you continue to be true to your history. We just don't have the family history, which is the generational history from Adam and the bloodline of our family. We just don't. We're very aware of that. We have a Christian history. We do, and the enemy knows all the people that, yeah, you got healed, but you had to get healed through somebody, through the gifts. You didn't get that on your own. Anything you get through anybody, a prophetic word, a healing, and you should get them. I mean, that's what we do. But all of that is supposed to light your fire. I mean, to give you a desire to know him yourself, to begin to draw from him yourself. Because what you get from him alone, spirit to spirit, word to word, it is the hardest revelation. It's the hardest blessing to steal. Because any relay can be interrupted. Anything you get through somebody else can be put into question. But not one that you get from standing on the written word, from reaching for that hem that's not just, you know, in the sky, it's in that invisible realm, that touch of the master. And whenever that takes place, and whenever you can't be shaken, but you're still contending, that's my thing, question for all of us today. Because Moses had to find that out in the story. I mean, we could read every time he went in there, because it's a great story. It made a great movie. It's a fantastic movie. It touches you. It shows because of Moses' perseverance, you know. But understand, back to the rod becoming a snake, and that snake eating the other snakes. I do believe Moses thought, this battle's over. How many times have you thought this battle's over? How many times have you thought, well, I feel so great? How many times those eyes were so clear? How many times was like, wow, someone gave you a check and look at this. This is really going to help me go down. How many times have you thought, wow, this is, and only to find out that the enemy came in and struck even harder. Furious that you got some kind of a relief. He doesn't want to see you get relief. He wants to see you suffer misery and woe. He don't want you getting any type of relief from pain. Any type of relief from financial need, any type of relief from being lonely and by yourself, any type of relief from the memories of yesterday. He's a masochist. He thrives on suffering. So whenever you get some breakthrough, I mean, whenever you get a healing touch, whenever you get some peace, whenever you get some confirmation coming your way, it drives him absolutely crazy. And he can come back furiously. And that's whenever you, as Moses, because Moses had to walk out of there thinking, what's it going to take? What? I saw that, and he saw that, and he still won't let the people go. How come that didn't impress the devil? I'm going to say it again. The devil has not just a family history, but he has a church history. And some of that church history in us, even as a born-again believer, we haven't shown perseverance. You know, we haven't shown that we hang in there with the promise. We haven't resorted to fasting, giving up real food and real liquid. We haven't abstained from voices that are far from positive. We haven't blocked out things that shouldn't be getting in to our system. So he knows that we haven't taken full measure to really show diligence to the Lord. That a work of faith is in process. So he banks on that history of you as a believer. I'm not talking about, you know, the secular history. I'm not talking about, well, my dad and my dad's dad and my uncle and, you know, we grew up on the wrong side. I get that. But this is since you've been born again. You know, you've had good habits, but maybe not godly habits. You have to ask yourself, are my habits, are my goals, are they keeping me? Is the dream that I have to serve the Lord keeping me? I believe all this, but is it keeping me? We all live in a spiritual house. That spiritual house is built upon people that, teachings that we hear, beliefs that we have, convictions that we form. It may be enough to get you to heaven, hallelujah, but is it enough to get you to be an overcomer here? Oh, that is good right there. Don't take much to get you to heaven. Believe in Him, confess your sins, you're in. But to live triumphantly, as Corinthians says right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, to live triumphantly in every place, as a young person, as a teenager, as a young married couple, as elderly, as whenever you're fighting a disease, a bankruptcy, a lawsuit, all of these things the devil uses to break believers, to get them to do what Job did, to curse God, to quit, to back away. Are you going to let that happen to you? Are you going to actually quit church? Actually say bad things about a ministry because something hasn't manifested yet? There's people that say bad things about me, and I'm thinking, sir, ma'am, I'm doing all I can do to help you. I can't get in there and quote scripture for you. They get mad because they're not doing the part that only they can do. Well, that's good too. This is a part that only you can do. I can do my part. I'm happy to do my part. The crusade here on the network, pray for you, counsel you, give you a word from the Lord if it comes, give you my advice, encourage you, be positive with you. But at the end of the day, you have to take all of that grace that's been given and go home and get actively involved yourself, saying the name, putting the blood on it, reading the written word, singing those songs, getting away from those movies, saying no to some people that shouldn't be in your life at all, let alone all the time. There's things you can do to begin to shut darkness out. Jesus says over in the book of Matthew, I love this, he goes into the temple and they're exchanging money. He just walks in and he says, man, this is my Father's house and you're doing this in my Father's house? I don't think so. He chases them all out. He gets them all chased out. And then he sounds the alarm and he says, bring me the children. I mean, they're not even out of the door hardly. And he says, bring me the children. And these kids come running into the temple right after the crooks had left. And he holds a healing service right there. Once they were out, he was able to bring them in. Oh, and the power fell. And the presence came. You know, God's wanting you and I to really dispel some things. Now, we don't always see it right away. We may not even see the danger of something right away. People are busy raising families, earning money, families, busy with church, working out at the gym. Most people's plate is full. I get it. But so does the devil. And if he sees on that full plate that you aren't still pressing in, if he sees you're a Martha busy but not a Mary busy. Martha was busy. Amen. She wasn't loafing. She was busy. But she didn't even act like she knew the Lord was there or she valued that. Have we lost value? Have we lost purpose? Has something lesser replaced something greater? It's time for greater to come back. It's time for him to come back into your life, my life, our nation. This nation. Oh. It's not just that all this bad stuff is taking place and we need a revival. Something had to let this happen. Now we're realizing, oh, we left the fox into the hen house. We've invited Godzilla to the party. And now here comes King Kong, and here comes the Wolfman and Frankenstein. And now we realize, wow, we got to get these guys out of here. We need a superhero. Well, that superhero is Jesus himself. It's his promises. It's all that he says. And yes, I believe we're on the verge of an amazing move of God in this country. I believe that. But right now we're talking about you. We're talking about an individual walk with the Lord, that step by step with the Holy Spirit. He said, call on me and I'll show you great and mighty things, but that means call on him. It doesn't mean you're I know that verse. That's not good enough. I know where that verse is. That's not good enough either. Yeah, I've known that for, it's not good enough. Is it coming out of your mouth? What sound is coming out of your mouth? What frequencies is coming out of your mouth that disturbs evil, that makes a cancer cell shudder? What frequency is causing you give any hope that you're going to walk again? We should never be in a place of hopelessness. Maybe something hasn't manifested yet, but hopelessness isn't really, there's not room on the menu for that for the believer. Why? Because we have Jesus, and Jesus is supposed to have us, and he is the same. He hasn't changed. He still hates disease. He's still here to destroy the works of the devil. His arm isn't too short and his ear isn't too dull. He's here for you. That we can't quit contending. And Moses wanted to quit. I mean, God had to really pamper him. Come on, keep going. Imagine the next time he went, you know, and he came into another, and that wasn't good enough, and that wasn't good enough. The whole way to the Red Sea, God parts the Red Sea. He's in the middle of the Red Sea, and he hears a noise, and here comes Pharaoh and the army of Egypt, even after they watch God opening the Red Sea. Why would you follow somebody into the Red Sea after you just got beat up by all this major demonstration of heaven? And then now you watch this man of God open the sea. Why would you continue that chase? Because of what I told you earlier. We have a history of quit. We have a history of taking it easy. We have a history of leaving somebody else do the work, the heavy lifting. Come on, this is an hour for you. God's raising you up to contend for what he has for you. Everything that he has for you is available. Nothing has changed. I mean, nothing has changed. The Holy Spirit's on assignment for you to bring you to the master's table. He said, I've prepared a table in the presence of your enemies. God's about to do something. Come on, step up. Let the Lord know that you will contend now and forever, until you really feel that you have done all, not some, but all that he's had for you to do. It will affect you. It will affect your family. It will affect your whole outlook on how you're living life today in this amazing time. God's up to something, and it's something very, very good. Father, bless the people, I pray. Heal them, bless them, keep them safe and sound and strong, and be the lifter of their head. Be their glory, be their shield, I pray, that no harm would come to them. You said in Luke 10:19, and nothing by any means will harm them. I believe that covering over them today, in Jesus' name. I love you, really, really do. Then remember Mark 10:27, with God, all things are possible. Bye-bye.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.